Welcome to Super Garbage Day, a retro video game review show where my co-host and I randomly select a game, usually obscure, 20 years or older, with hopes to find the treasures in the trash. I am your host, Jake B. Ross. That was not clever. I'm so ashamed of myself.
And I'm your Decker, Ryan Miller.
Ryan, the big deck Decker. See, that's better.
Who paid attention? This guy.
Yeah. I just went with the main character's name. You'll find out what we're talking about very soon. We have two new patrons this week, and they both are podcast hosts. First one is Keith from the Main Quest podcast. Thank you for joining the Patreon and welcome to the family.
Thank you, Keith.
And the world famous Brent Van Tassel from Sofa King podcast. If you haven't heard the Sofa King podcast, I highly recommend you listen to it. It's actually fantastic. And they're pretty big. They're in the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of downloads a month.
You can listen to them roast us on one of their episodes.
They do often, actually. Yeah. Brent likes our show and he gives us shout outs. And thank you, Brent. And thank you, Keith. Keith's show, too. Don't get me wrong. I was actually listening to his episode today on Mortal Kombat, and it was great. He had another podcast host on his show who was like really into Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat! Sorry, I had to.
You didn't even do the buildup.
I just got to get you with it. I can't build up to it.
Kind of scared me. I thought you were going to sneeze. I was like kind of posting up, getting ready to be sprayed with mucus, I thought. So, yes, Keith, Main Quest podcast, good stuff. Check out his latest episode on Mortal Kombat. Also, I spoke about this the last couple episodes. I did do a guest spot on his show, and that episode should be out end of May. So keep an eye out for that. I will be sure to remind you every week. We have a Discord. We have some new people join our Discord, and it's always fun. It's a little community, but it's great. We all joke and talk, and then that's where you can submit the retro question of the week. We pull it directly from our Discord, so you can come join for free. Hang out, talk to us, talk to the peeps. It's a good time. Link will be in the bio. By the bio, I mean in the description. And by the description, I mean the show notes.
Woo. Words.
Yes, words. If you don't mind and you like our show, please leave us a good podcast review. It just helps us get more exposure and leads us to other people's earlobes. Not their ears, their earlobes.
Their ear holes.
Lead us to lobes. Lisa Lobe. Also, this week, we're releasing two bonus episodes on the Patreon, so come check that out, and I'm going to play a little bit of a sample right now. JJ Squawkers is just something else. It's so weird, but it has character. It's a weird little game that is just batshit insane. And for that reason, I give it a B. I give it a B. I put it before Bad Mojo, though. I think Bad Mojo is a better game. I almost put JJ Squawkers in C because of its weirdness and its length. It's very short and also glitchy. And the only way you can play it is on arcade. It's only an arcade game. Never was ported. We had to play it on a MAME emulator. Actually, because of that, I think I'm moving it to a high C. I'm going to be honest. Okay, there you go. You can catch those on the Patreon. Come check us out at patreon.com/supergarbageday. Also in the show notes. Woo! All right, I'm ready. You ready?
I'm ready.
So I gave you the retro question of the week early this week.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping you were like, yes. Instead of what?
What?
So let's get right into it. It's time for the retro question of the week. This question comes from Johnny Longboard. What second entry in a series remained the best one?
I just wanted to say Empire Strikes Back, but...
Oh, well, I mean, in games, in video games.
It's always my knee jerk. Which sequel is the best sequel?
I mean, I agree.
I think Super Mario Brothers 2.
You know what? Thank you.
Yeah.
I love Mario 2.
I love it so much. I am
in that camp where that was my favorite of the three.
Mm-hmm.
And I, to this day, still adore it. And I go to that one. And I know it was originally Doki Doki Panic. And they thought that the the Mario.
Yeah, well, Mario was originally Jumpman. So.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you know, the whole story behind how that became that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you. That's awesome. I think the second one was like the most adventurous. Like Mario 3 is great. I don't want to take away from it. But Mario 2 is so more diverse.
I also like the fact that you can play it. You could get four friends together and play it four different ways.
I know.
Because there's completely different, like,
personally. Wait, hold on, let me ask you. Who's your main?
I Toad, man.
I was Toad, too.
You know what I mean? Let me
we're seeing eye to eye. Bro, and his digging ability on the sand levels.
Oh, I love it where he's just like.
Yeah, that guy was fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Either that or. I do like to rock Luigi.
Oh yeah,
I like the fast.
He's got the big jump, the
fast run, and the big feet. Jump. Yep,
with the feet. I pretty much was primarily Princess and Toad,
and Toad.
But mainly I mained as Toad.
Yeah,
that's my dude on there because he's nimble and fast. And
I like to save him for when I knew there was a boss fight.
Oh yeah,
it's just like, all right, we're just gonna rip this stuff up real fast. I
feel
like
he picks up and throw things. No, he's
a stronky boy. Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Well, my answer isn't as exciting, and it's and I, you know, I thought long and hard about this, and I could only come up with Suikoden 2.
Oh yeah,
and I'm talking about the entire series, like all across all of the 3D ones, the ones that went into everything. I know that we did an episode on Suikoden. If you haven't heard that, check it out. It's a couple episodes back. And the second one is just better than all of them, barely better than the first. But it's like I said,
it kind of doesn't it build up on,
it feels like one big game.
But like, doesn't it introduce like a little bit of new mechanics, but still just like improving on the old stuff.
It definitely is one of those games where it took something that was good and made it better.
Okay.
So the quality of life improvements were nice. And then the story alone, especially if you come from part one, going to part two, it's just like, it's insane. And like I said, it's got the best villain. It's just good. Play Suikoden 2 on physical copy.
Well, $4,000. I mean, those are coming out. Both of them. One and two. Yeah, we're getting a remaster. And
please be good.
I was looking more at it, and it looks like it's just a graphical update.
Okay, good.
And
I hate when they mess with it too much.
It doesn't look like they touched anything. It's just
they graphics. Better not. There was a rumor.
All the notes of it are the only thing they're touching on is just like, you know, original core gameplay.
Good.
Graphical updates, some quality of life things,
microtransactions.
It looks
Konami!
Like it looks like they added they might be adding like maybe a fast travel system of sorts.
That's good. No, I think the quality of life adjustments is great for games.
Yeah.
So but also that rumor of, did you read anything there about like creating your own 108 star person?
I saw nothing about
that. Okay, so that might just be a straight up rumor.
When I actually think that would be a misstep personally.
Really?
Because then it changes the gotta catch them all aspect.
Right.
By just, I don't know, I think it just muddies the formula.
I never got them catch them all dance.
It's gotta catch them all.
You do this dance often. If you can't see what it is, just imagine somebody spinning on their head while doing a moonwalk. So, all right. Be sure to add your retro questions of the week. It is free. It is in our Discord. And just pile us up. Because we're running low. All right, let's get to this week's game, which was a Patreon pick.
Patreon!
And this week's game was Shadowrun on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah!
Shadowrun is a cyberpunk fantasy action role-playing video game for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, adapted from the tabletop role-playing game Shadowrun by FASA. That's F-A-S-A, all capitals. The video game was developed by an Australian company, Beam Software, and first released in 1993 by Data East. I could talk more about how it's based off a book, but I found out later that the book is loosely associated with it. It's a Shadowrun lore. Shadowrun is
It's a tabletop game.
It's a tabletop game. It's also
cyberpunk D&D.
But it also shares like a lot of other facets to enjoy its lore, such as like books, and there's like online stories, and there's multiple games. Weird thing about this game is, unlike a lot of games, this game was released on the Super Nintendo, the Sega Genesis, and the Sega CD with three completely different teams building them, and none of the games are the same.
That's what I was looking up and seeing that.
Yeah,
a lot of people were saying the Genesis version is the superior one.
I was told that too. I read that. I played this one I haven't played the Genesis one, so I'm wondering if that's true. Then I also want to know what the Sega CD one looks like.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that existed until I started doing some research.
Because I didn't see anything about that. Yeah. So that's interesting.
Yeah, so it's one of those weird situations where it's all based off the same lore, but they're completely different games. Not in the sense of like one's a soccer game or some shit.
Oh, right.
But like in a sense of like they
have different combat systems.
They don't look related.
Yeah.
You know. So I just want to bring that up. Also, of all the three games, this one had the shortest development time of 5 months.
That explains a lot of things.
5 months.
That's insane.
That's insane. So let's get right into first impressions. Go, Mr. Miller.
All right. This game, my first impressions, I'm going to go way back to when I first played this game.
Okay.
Back as a wee lad. I immediately was just like, we're gonna take this back to the store because this is too hard. Because I could not figure it out to save my life. It didn't make any sense. You're running around immediately, you're just getting lit up with no gun, no direction. You can't even punch somebody if you wanted to.
touch them.
And the fact that it's also kind of like a pseudo point and click as well. With a joypad is just woo-wee.
Different.
I don't like it.
It's different. I had the same experience as a kid, actually. I remember playing this, and I believe I rented it, and I played 5-10 minutes, and I was like, I don't understand this. This is too. It immediately gave me that this is out of my league
mm-hmm.
game. Like I feel like I need to be like 14 to play this or something. So
now.
Yeah,
I had a much easier time understanding how things work.
Yes.
But still, this is like got some gates that don't need to be there.
Should I say doors?
That
don't need to be there.
And oh, and later on, actually, gates that yes. don't need to be there.
Like, my literal first impression of revisiting it was me just loading up the game. And luckily for me, I get to play it on my actual Super Nintendo and an old CRT. Mm-hmm. I'm very proud of this. But this was actually kind of a wholesome thing this week because my children were both sick. They had a cold and I had to take care of them this weekend solo. And so we're all in my bedroom. The master bedroom, and you know, I'm watching the kids and feeding them and putting on their shows and giving them their medicine and making sure they're feeling okay. And so I decided to just like set up my little retro, you know, I set up my EverDrive with my Super Nintendo and my little CRT TV. And I just played the game entirely that way this entire week. And like usually in the dark.
Oh, so you played it old school.
I played it literally. It felt old school.
Yeah.
There was a moment my daughter comes off the bed. She just sits next to me, lays her head on me, watches me play. I was like, it could have been any game. Could have been NBA Jam.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been Kirby. But for some reason, it just felt so nostalgic.
Mm.
And I just want to say that first and foremost. I don't know if that's going to affect or give me any kind of bias towards how I feel about this this game ultimately in the verdict. But I will say it was a very pleasant scenario. And I just had to add that to my first impressions. I played this differently than I normally play our games that are chosen for the week. Anyways, that was a long-winded explanation for me to say my first impression was me watching a guy get shot to death and then a dog comes over and dances and just casts a spell. And then a couple of dudes.
You mean the fox woman?
Doctor's suits. up and I was like, what in the hell just happened? So there's my first impression.
Yeah. Ow, my brain's been fried I feel.
It's like the next. That all happens before you even get to like the start game.
I know.
And I'm like, what? They just really showed me a lot of nonsense. And they're like, here's the story. This is a guy getting shredded by bullets. And I'm like, well, that sucked. And then I just see a dog run up. And later on, you find out it's not a dog, but it looks like, I thought like, oh, look, it's a golden retriever or something. And then it stands on its two legs, starts casting a spell over the body. And I'm like, what? I need to be like 14 to understand this.
There's a lot going on in this world.
Well, let's get into gameplay. Mr. Miller.
All right. So the gameplay of this, like I touched on, it's an RPG, but there's no explanation on like how to get a weapon
nope.
or what to even do. as far as anything goes. Interacting with the world is very awkward because it's kind of like a point and click where you'll toggle a hand that you can use to kind of go across the screen and things will highlight. And then it'll give you options like left trigger. You can inspect an item. It'll give you a brief description, and then right trigger is interact with it.
Mm-hmm.
And just getting out of the first area, like you pop yourself out of a morgue.
Wait, you use the triggers? I didn't use triggers ever.
I just used
the actual button because you hit it twice.
I used the bumpers.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, left bumper and right bumper. Left bumper gets a description.
No,
and right bumper.
I did the whole analog, like click it, hit the button. Yeah, again,
so if you hit left
bumper,
if you hit left bumper, it'll bring up the little hand, and that is an automatic inspect.
Okay.
And right bumper is an automatic interact. So when there's money on the ground, you can just hit right bumper and pick it up.
Because those buttons do nothing when the hand's not.
Exactly. Well, but if you hit them, it should just bring up the.
Okay. Well, I need to fix my controller apparently.
But anyways,
yeah,
it's an RPG. I have a hard time with this game.
Really?
Once you finally find a gun, the combat is not that engaging.
Personally. It's different though.
You hit A and a targeting reticle comes up and then you mash A again on the guy.
I don't know why I liked it. I liked it. I thought that, and also I think that the game gives you like a very vague idea of where to go or what to do, but I did end up figuring it out, and I'm not the sharpest sandwich in the toolbox. So I would get frustrated, but then I would, for instance, the first area is the morgue. You wake up as this body that was resurrected by a mage dog, and you start, that's how you kind of get the grasp. And the second I hit a button and saw the finger come up, I was like, oh no. But then actually I got used to it super fast. I actually didn't, by like hour five of the game, I was so fast at it that I didn't even,
I want to ask, how far did you make it?
I made it to, past the second club.
So past Wastelands? Downtown.
Oh yeah.
You made it to Wastelands? Oh,
the cars?
No, oh, no. Okay.
Wasteland's the club. Yes.
No. Because okay, let me ask you. Did you go to the Ripper Dock, or that's 2077. Did you go to the Street Dock?
Yes, with the brain thing that the
Cortex bomb. Did you get the bomb disabled?
Yes.
Okay. Did you go to Wastelands afterwards?
No.
Okay.
Wait, Wastelands. The club's not called Wastelands.
Yeah, that's the club that you have.
Yes,
the matchbox where you open the door and there's a dude automatically just shooting at you.
Yes, the orc at the top, the raptors. Okay. Yes.
Did you defeat the rust stilettos?
No.
Okay.
But that was about where I stopped.
Okay.
So, because I had to restart the game after I messed up, and then I come to realize later I didn't mess up because I thought I messed up because I used the patch in the beginning. Now, this is going to sound foreign. We're trying to give a review.
I'm just trying to figure out where
the hell are they talking about?
Just trying to figure out where you're at. Yeah.
So
you can actually buy another one of those. You can.
I realized that later.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, I found this guy in the graveyard. Mm-hmm. And anyways, as far as the gameplay is concerned, I the combat is unusual, but it didn't bother me. It was fulfilling. I felt like every time I hit somebody or they died, I knew that noise that they all do. It felt like, yeah. And I like the system of how you get like the new yen, which is the money. Currency is called new yen.
New yen.
New yen. I don't know why I call it new yen.
I don't
pronounce anything.
It's correct. Set in 2050 Seattle.
Yeah.
And everything is very Asian, as all cyberpunk is.
I always feel
is.
Like cyberpunk is always about Japan winning the war.
It's because
the Great War.
I mean, when you think about it, it's all hyper tech. It's all, it's also that side of the world has a much bigger population. So it makes sense that when everything's a mega corporation, there's going to be a lot more.
And that's ultimately what the storyline is here, is that mega corporations take over the world and everybody's kind of just reduced to like, I don't know, just
everything. It is the definition of cyberpunk. Yeah.
With, you know,
only it's
robots and hackers.
It's got fantasy elements.
Mages that aren't really mages.
They just use guns. This game.
Yeah. Deckers who are computer guys that are good at hacking. And then like, orcs, and there's trolls, I think.
Yeah.
I call them trolls, but they're.
Yeah. Cyber or Shadowrun, as I said before, is D&D with cyberpunk added to it.
And it's kind of, I kind of love it. Like, no, or just not the game in particular, but I kind of love this,
the setting.
And I've experienced it before in games like, Deus Ex, and, Shadowrun seems to have it like really tightened down. It seems like very pen and paper.
If you like this, there are modern Shadowrun games that are much better.
Are there?
Yeah.
Cause there was a 360 one that was garbage.
No, there's PC ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the, I did like the lore. I like the atmosphere of it. And I feel like the gameplay, even though it's weird because it's isometric RPG, cyberpunk RPG. I liked that it was different.
Did you recruit any Shadowrunners?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I had a Hamfist. Well, he wasn't a Shadowrunner. Well, technically,
if you can recruit them, they're a Shadowrunner. Oh,
he's a Decker, but I know what you mean. They're all Shadowrunners.
Yeah.
Yeah, I recruited like two.
My biggest issue with them is how difficult it is to control them, and
they just blast, man.
Well, some of them have abilities you want them to use, and when you're just getting lit up, it's better for you to just sit there and shoot them with their gun,
right? But I use them. I actually kind of used them. So these are NPCs in the game that you can hire, and they will roll with you for a duration of time. But it could be longer based on how your points. So we didn't even talk about like the point system. Karma.
Yeah. So that's also a problem I have with this game. The karma system. It is such a grind.
I didn't have that problem. I feel like I figured out some stuff early because I would go and get Hamfist from the Viper Club or whatever the name of the bar is. And then I would go in and out of the graveyard until I had like a ton of karma. And then I'd go and spam fighting the guys on the rooftop, on top of the subway, because they give you 60 win. So you just go back and forth. Like I built up money and karma pretty fast.
It, for me, it felt like such a grind.
You know the auto yard you were telling me about?
Yeah.
I got through that like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Because I went and did the combat arena, but I was just chucking grenades. I didn't
have anything. Like I just like beelined through the storyline.
Yeah. So you actually killed the guys in the auto.
Yep.
You went back and forth in that small screen. Oh no. If you went up to the arena and did the tournament, the guy pays you. He doubles it every time.
I know. But the first guy I couldn't beat because I was so low level.
Buy those grenades, man.
Well, from where? I'm already in the yard.
That's true. Well, you can buy them from the dude.
I know.
Okay.
I know, but that's the problem with this game.
I feel so bad for people listening to this right now because we're like having an honest to God argument about a game we played the hell out of, and we are not describing. It sounds probably foreign to people who don't understand
the game. Well, okay, so this game doesn't have an experience system. You don't know when you're going to level up or gain.
It does.
Where?
You just figure it out. Certain enemies, if you kill enough of one type, you'll know exactly how much until you get a karma.
Okay, well.
But it's not very transparent. I'll give you that.
That's what I'm saying is like there's no counter. It's all hidden in the background. I got very frustrated with this game because I wanted to like it.
Like you played the hard version of it on accident, though. And I just luckily was like, hey, I can take this dude, this orc, to this graveyard.
See, and I never had
to walk around.
I didn't have enough money to recruit him. I was broke until the car yard.
This is a rough game. And you went to the car yard under leveled too.
That's yeah, I was rough. I had 1 point put into firearms and I had 1 point that I
put, that's all you had?
And I had 1 point that I put into charisma.
I was at 6 firearms by the time I got to the car yard.
Nah.
And like, oh wow. So that totally makes sense though. It'd be very frustrating from that angle. I think I guess I just made the right choices early on, which I never normally do.
Because I was just thinking it's like a normal RPG. I'm not going to have to.
Right.
Like I was playing it like I was playing a D&D game.
Yeah.
And it's not a D&D game. No, this, you have to play this like it's a Final Fantasy game.
It also is like the random encounters are pretty funny because it's out of nowhere. Some guy just pops out of a dumpster or like a hand comes out of a window with a gun and shoot you, and then if you kill him, you also see some like money fall onto the ground.
Also, strength is the dumbest stat in this game.
Why
for your character? Because you really only need to get your strength up to level 3 and then you're fine.
Well, apparently not.
No. Body is the
body's life
is the most important.
Yeah, but strength improves also your recruit's strength too.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
But I, like I said, this is a big game though. Like, and I'm surprised they fit so much in 5 months of development. Let me tell you about some of the things that frustrated me. Number one, the doors.
The doors are awful.
This is so unnecessary. So the game forces you to use your cursor hand and open the doors, or I guess use the top of the button, which I was unaware of.
But you have to make sure the door opens all the way.
Correct. Because if you're standing in the weird angle, it shoves you and goes, and your guy goes, ugh, and it slams it.
Mm-hmm.
This is so unnecessary. Like, all you had to do was be able to walk through the door or not. That's it. Uh-huh. And if you can't walk through it, then examine it. I don't know how they messed that up. Like, because that really annoyed me. And there was, especially when you're grinding early on, you have to go through a lot of doors. Later on, you go through a million doors.
I have a feeling that they wanted the enemies to be able to go through doors as well, like to follow you so you couldn't just run from fights. Oh,
but they didn't implement it?
And that was like a mechanic to like shove them back or whatever.
Yeah. The enemies don't move. Well, but, some of them do.
Well, I mean, and sometimes when you walk into a room and get into a fight that you can't win and walk out and then walk back in, there's nobody in that room.
I know.
It's real random.
It is random. And also worked in my favor for like at least like trying to grind and get karma and get a new win or... What'd you call it?
New Yen.
That's right. New Yen. I keep saying Nguyen because I think I had a doctor in my past when I was a kid.
Dr. Nguyen.
Yeah. So, the doors suck. I feel like the difficulty like ramps up real fast. You go from feeling like, all right, I got the hang of this. And they throw you into downtown. And I was like, oh my God. Like,
what? Because you can literally go to the end, like one of the end buildings.
Yeah. Oh, the Drake or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could just walk to that building and then just get lit up by security.
Or how about when I got out, I was like, oh, the subway system's kind of cool. I like the little, talk about that later. Scene. Yeah, but that'll be in the other section.
That's gameplay.
It is, but like, yeah, use the subway and I think eventually a helicopter. These little like cutscenes that are like hyper detailed and colorful, but it's like, damn, that's the fastest train I've ever seen. Some of this, I saw what the game was trying to do, especially with like, they made an RPG and they made it fast. The shops are interesting, you know, where you buy weapons. You have to actually physically look at every glass case and it tells you the prices, which is fine. At first, I'm like, ugh, annoying. But then I already knew immediately like what I had to do. The prices are ridiculous.
That's the biggest problem because later in the game, you're rolling in so much money and you have the best gear available already.
So it's worthless. Like money is worthless.
It's one of the gates I'm talking about. Okay. Like the fact that they start you out with, you're like, ooh, $20. And it's like, that's not going to get you anything.
Nothing.
You can barely make a phone call with $20.
Well, you can't do that unless you get that.
Then you stick. After you get a cred shit. Yeah, there's a lot of
cred stick.
Yeah. I mean, it's like Maniac Mansion style puzzles.
It is. It's I call it mystery solving.
Mm-hmm.
Point and click.
Which that's, I don't mind.
I liked it.
I liked that part of the gameplay.
I felt very rewarded when I figured things out on my own. The scalpel, I can use that to pry open the crypts.
My problem with the gameplay was the lack of information.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can get yourself into a stupid grind fest. And it still, even when you don't, it still felt like grinding to me.
I'm surprised that we played it differently when the game is fairly linear, you know. I did realize I had to restart it because I thought I messed up, so I restarted the game, and when I restarted it, I noticed a lot more of the game guiding you, like the guy you first meet when you step out of the morgue.
If you follow him, he takes you straight to the gun.
You follow him, that's how you get the gun.
That's
like I said, it's a subtle nudge.
Yeah.
You can still find that eventually if you exhaust every other location where you're like, how do I get a gun, how do I get it? And then you finally do and you're like, oh, thank God. But you meet the weird dog character that's like creepy face comes out of the shadows and is like, hello, you worship me. Bring me 3 items. Peace.
Oh, did you ever heal the guy in the crypt?
Yeah, eventually.
Okay.
He gives you that. Oh, we should talk about this. This is a major point of this game is the communication and the dialogue, like keywords.
Yeah.
That you learn. So I'm on the fence about this. I like it and I also hate it.
I think there should have been a skill or an ability that you can level up that eliminates bogus options.
See, I wanted a lot of those options to just go away once you don't need them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving them there, because how this works, ladies and gentlemen, is that you talk to characters and then they will have like highlighted, like bold words that once they tell you that, it's saved to your little Rolodex of like words, special words that you can
your keyword list
that you can ask other NPCs about that can lead the conversation to what you need to do. However, there's a lot of them there that don't matter. Like the iced tea, you know, like I thought it was funny. Like you get the iced tea in the bar and then I'm like, okay, I guess I can drink it to heal myself. Nope. And I'm like, okay.
No, it's to give to the guy who's crying about his concert ticket.
I figured it out. The guy who's like, I'm tired. I'm like, I want to put, it should have been coffee. Iced tea doesn't wake me up. But I thought it was funny later on when somebody's like, what do you want? Get around here. I'm going to shoot you. And I'm like, iced tea? And they're like, get away from me. Yeah. Well, yeah, that was a big problem there too, is that that was a very messy, that could have been cleaned up. I get mad when I see things in games that I know can be cleaned up with just code. Like a little bit of like QA.
Maybe if they took more than 5 months to make this game.
Maybe that wasn't their fault though.
Yeah.
When I hear those stories, that's almost always developers under a lot of stress.
Oh yeah.
What they pulled off in 5 months is pretty remarkable, dude. Like I can't even pull off like growing like squash in 5 months without problems, let alone coding an entire game from the ground up. So I give them that, but yeah, you know, that system's kind of sucks, but it also when I figured things out, it felt rewarding.
It's an old system.
It
dates back to like King's Quest and stuff like that.
I definitely got those vibes. Yeah, for sure. They kind of a little bit of very PC to console.
That's what I always was just thinking, like, I think I would like this a lot more if I was playing this on the PC.
Yeah, but also this game never existed on the PC.
I know.
So it's bizarre. It's built from the ground up on the Super Nintendo.
It's a PC develop. It feels like PC developers who got forced to work with
that's probably hardware. What happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. Well, I mean, that's gameplay. There's probably more to talk about, but I mean, there really isn't.
I mean, we can rant, but
I mean, I like the combat. I like the exploration.
I think I just got burnt out.
Yeah. It sounds like it. Like you just played like a torturous version of this game. That's,
I mean, my first play, I was like, that's why I was just like, wait till you get to the car yards. Cause I'm over here just like bashing my head against a car.
You told me that, literally. And I was like, okay, and I got to the car yards and I was in there for like 20 minutes. I'm like, what is he talking about?
It took me like 4 hours.
There's also multiple ways to get out of there, which I think is kind of cool. Cause you can even challenge the guy to a fight instead of paying him.
Oh yeah.
And then, well, not challenge, but you have to go through the,
go through the arena. Yeah. I learned all that.
Which is easy when you buy a bunch of grenades, but like you said, you don't have the money. I get it. All right. Graphics and audio. So I don't know how you feel, but I totally was digging the way this game looked. I like the atmosphere. Here's the thing about this game. It's very biased. Gave me a little bit of Earthbound vibes and gave me a little bit of Ultima Online vibes. That isometric city, like just the how far away it is from the characters and the environment is like the same as Earthbound and Ultima Online, which is like two of my favorite games of all time. And so I was already liking it. I was very predisposed to enjoy the aesthetics. And I kind of like the dreary dullness of it. And I feel like it fits. It fits its scenery well. I was not bothered even by the tiny sprites that were silly.
I think for what it is, it's all right. It's pretty ugly, and it is ugly. It's not cyberpunk.
But it's supposed to be ugly.
What that's my problem is it's not cyberpunk.
Gotcha.
None of it felt like cyberpunk.
The bar is kind of cyberpunky.
They're all just black spaces with lights.
Okay, I get you there.
Yeah, it does. There's no neon. I don't ever feel like I'm in a cyberpunk world. I don't even feel like I'm in like a big like industrial space.
Well, let me ask you this. Is the game proclaiming it's cyberpunk?
Did you see the opening crawl?
I'm just saying. If the game is not saying it's cyberpunk and it's
Shadowrun. It's 100% cyberpunk.
I know it
has
is.
To be cyberpunk. It's Shadowrun.
But I mean, like, it's a predisposed opinion on what cyberpunk should be. Have neon lights and stuff, or maybe not. It's like a dream. This is like, you don't see neon lights when the corporations win.
It didn't and feel like 2050. Let me put it that.
Well, yeah, but we're almost to 2050.
Not in 1990. Okay, like, I didn't feel like I was in Blade Runner. I didn't feel like I was in.
Fair point.
Like that's the thing. If you do cyberpunk, there's certain aesthetics that you.
What about the nightclubs?
They don't feel cyberpunk at all. They feel like bars.
Well, they had flashy lights and stuff.
They just feel like crappy.
I like the bar. I like the cool like music section where it had like you can hear the singers and stuff.
It just didn't do it for me. Expecting more out of a cyberpunk setting.
Well, see, here's where an interesting question I have to ask you then. I don't come from like a heavily cyberpunk like past in regards to my interests in fantasy or anything. So for me to like this, I like the way it looks because it's conveying to me that it's like a grim future and it's slums. And you're right, though. I think about the few things, cyberpunk things that I have experienced. There's definitely a lot of neon and stuff, but I wasn't even thinking that at all. Do you think should that affect my viewpoint on it or how I feel about the aesthetics if I don't have like a reference to begin with?
I think, like you said, you were automatically just brought back to games that you already enjoyed.
Well, just Deus Ex.
No.
Oh,
what you said about game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
About, you were already right. Just like, oh, it's Earthbound. And so you're like, la, da, 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 I'm playing Earthbound.
No, specifically just the isometric and the angle. I was like, and the way you enter and come out of buildings, it just reminded me of that and Ultima. And a lot of both, actually, if you mix them together. And so you kind of, well, and make it look
crappier. I felt like I was more in like 1800s.
I will agree, there's way more neon in Earthbound. Yeah. there's an entire city. That's neon.
it was all brick.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was like 1960s Seattle. England. Well, it didn't even feel like Seattle.
No, I didn't even know it was in Seattle until later on. I saw the Space Needle and I was like,
oh, why didn't you do the crawl? And there's a Space Needle. Like,
oh, this is in Seattle.
What? There is a clue into that once you start actually hacking computers.
Oh, the hacking is interesting.
We didn't even touch on that.
We didn't talk about that.
But there's a whole hacking mini game type of thing.
Minesweeper
base. Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
But it's let me see if I can remember the designator. It Shadowrun people would know this, but it's like USUACA or something, SEA. And the first is like the country, the second is the ruling body, like government body,
right?
And then the third is the location, and that's Seattle, SEA.
So that's how you knew, huh?
Well, I mean, I knew because of the Space Needle, the
Space Needle gave it away. I was like, oh,
there's a lot of like Shadowrun clues in this.
Does Shadowrun primarily take place in Seattle, or is it just
it's a major,
so it's just the world,
it's a major player. It's like, if you're big into cyberpunk, the actual cyberpunk tabletop where everything's in Night City, that's Seattle is like a big setting for it.
I always notice with other cyberpunk examples, at least, or the few I've experienced, it's always like big metropolitan cities that are just kind of dark or just like under some distress.
Gloomy.
Yeah.
Rain is a big aesthetic in cyberpunk.
I didn't see any rain in this game.
No. Well, that's because there's.
They didn't have a lot to work with.
They didn't have a lot.
I'm not trying to defend it. I'm just saying that, like,
I did like the character portraits.
Yeah, character portraits are great.
They're really good.
That also reminded me of PC games, though. I was like, this is like totally, this game's trying so hard to be a PC game, but it can't because it lives in a Super Nintendo.
Some of the magic effects were cool.
Yeah. Did you get the one where you cast like the spirit?
The where you summon the fox to go tear everybody's jugular out? Yeah. Powerball is fun. Just throwing fireballs.
Yeah, that's just fun.
I started
with Mario. I feel like the music. Let's talk about the music. The music is I wasn't in love. I'm not a big fan of abrupt changes in music.
You mean you don't like just instant fight music and not knowing where the enemy is?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
This is my hurt.
Well, at least it indicates I'm getting shot at instead of just me taking bullets. But
then you learn to look for peepholes.
Yes. But I mean, I get that. That's probably a part of it. It just seems so, it's just so, like I said, abrupt and like, you know, and it happens a lot until you get used to it. And there wasn't a huge musical selection here. I feel like, well, the club scene has the band playing and I thought that was kind of cool. But it's really just felt like four tracks the entire game. It's
very repetitive.
Yeah, and it's very repetitive. The music that is there does fit the atmosphere. I feel that 100%. But it's like four tracks and it's constantly being interrupted. And sometimes you just go into a new screen and it just changes the music. You go back outside, changes the music. And there was really no importance even going there. You
right.
know? And so I'm like, oh, it's just constant changing. Other than that, I mean, I don't know what to say else about the music. I mean,
it's not great.
Sound effects are pretty funny. I mean, they're a lot of guys screaming. Yeah. Do they use the same scream for when the scientist guys see you for when somebody gets killed?
Is that the same? I think so.
Is
yeah.
The same scream?
Yeah.
Those scientist guys are kind of funny though. They're like the funniest part of the game.
They were pretty humorous. It's unfortunate you interact with them like three times and then it's,
well, every time you die, you interact with them.
Oh yeah. They drag your body off and right back to that start screen.
They're kind of funny. They're like the only humor in the game. And it's very minimal, but
I don't know. Some of the interactions, especially once you get negotiation.
Yeah.
Some of those interactions when you're trying to hire somebody and you're just like, obviously, penny pinching.
Yeah, you're
like,
trying to get them lower.
I got some bills to feed, a bunch of little orklings.
Like, bills to feed. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why that's there, though, is just to haggle and make it cheaper to hire people. But
which I wish was a more active thing instead of just passively automatically doing it.
Well, it's also in line with the charisma, which just extends the length of how long the shadow runners will be with you.
Yeah. And then leadership is how many you can have.
Yep. And I think that works well. I the game was a simplified, complex game. Like, it's complex and also simplified, but they found somewhere in the middle there. Mm-hmm. And with the graphics and audio, I feel like they also found somewhere in the middle between good and bad.
Oh, I do have something I need to say about graphics one more. And it also kind of loops into gameplay.
Yeah.
Is this game is a pixel hunt.
It definitely
and
is.
And it's real hard unless you have a good screen that's decent size because there
I
are.
I played it on a 13-inch CRT, man.
Well, were you pretty close?
No.
Because there.
I mean, I was a controller length away, but I think it's.
Let me ask you, did you find the paperweight?
No. And I didn't realize like the scalpel was even there. But you know what? You get kind of used really quickly to this game to like scan the screen with your finger, which is normal. For point and click games.
I'll tell you right now, without that paperweight, you're
really?
Uh-huh.
Well, great. Restart it again, I guess.
Yeah. But, well, you can go back and find it.
Yeah.
But it's just knowing where to go and scouring every pixel of a room. Like, for example, those two orcs, once you step out of the subway,
yeah,
they have a key on them that's important.
I didn't know that.
Yep. One of them has a key on them that wow. is essential to progress.
Well, perhaps. Yeah.
So that's another one of my big beefs with this game.
I would have to agree with you, too, because it being so far away, the isometric camera being so far away from the characters, that's like does not serve the player well.
Also makes the maps feel unnecessarily large.
Yeah, well, they don't start getting large till about the third section. And then I was like, oh, my God, the streets
are too big.
When you get to downtown, I was this is too much. And I was starting to get overwhelmed. That's really when my opinion started changing on the game. Was around that time. I was like, this is getting harder. It's getting more tedious. And I'm completely lost on what I'm supposed to be doing or where I'm supposed to be going. And that's when I had to start like looking at a walkthrough. And but before that, though, I was having a blast figuring everything out on my own and those little small compact cities or areas. And I enjoyed that. I wish it would have just remained that way, but it didn't. And that was kind of where I started signing off. And it started to get frustrated. So I will say the subway cutscene's really colorful.
Oh yeah. Anytime there's a little cutscene,
they're heavily detailed.
Yeah, the pixel art is pretty good on
those.
What
a weird contrast to the very minimally detailed gameplay aspect. Mm-hmm. It's the graphics of the gameplay. So well, I guess it's time to give our verdict, so so for a game developed in only 5 months, I am very surprised with how well it manages to convey its story, its atmosphere, and I think it established itself as a unique RPG amongst its peers. I found myself returning to it often, actually. I would play, and then perhaps it's because I was taking care of two sick babies, and we were in just the same room, and they had the TV and my phone and everything. That might have been a part of that. But I kept wanting to play it. I kept turning it back on and playing it, you know, and I didn't use save states or anything. I just played it the natural way. Nothing against that. This game, actually, I would prefer to play it with save states.
Yeah, save states.
If you're going to play this game, play it with
save states. Save states would have saved me a lot of headache.
But you know, it was great. I had a little cool little old school memory where I'm playing a Super Nintendo on an old TV and my daughter's watching me, and it felt cool. It could have been any game though. You know, it just happened to be this one. It only takes about an hour, I think, to understand the game. Personally, that's how long it took me to figure it out. And I mean from hitting start, yeah, not knowing anything, to okay, now I'm somewhere, I know what I'm doing, I've figured out some of the lore, I figured out like my objectives, I figured out whatever. I think it's a great game, actually. I think it's really I had fun with it. Seems like we played different types of games, but I can't recommend it because it gets a thumbs up for me because I walked into this kind of blind, and it looked kind of intimidating at first with the finger and the point and click aspects and it just being completely, you know, unknown to me. I had a great time, and I felt a lot of rewarding like dopamine hits when I would figure things out on my own. But unfortunately, that starts to fade as the difficulty spikes and things get more tedious and bigger and longer. And the game lacks a lot of polish in areas that were unnecessary, and I don't know how they could not have seen that with the doors, with other aspects. And so I give it a thumbs up. I enjoyed my time with it. Put about 10 hours total, I think, in it. Which in Outcast hours is 5 hours.
Yes.
But I liked it. So that's my opinion. Mr. Miller.
All right. I wanted to like this game.
I'm surprised.
Real bad. I tried hard, and I was enjoying it until I got locked in a room with only two guys to grind over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah. Because it was not apparent to me how you gain karma, and right, like, it just never came in, and I didn't need it up until then. It was just like any other game that I would play this style. I didn't feel like I needed to grind enemies. It didn't even seem like that was the point of the game.
You can kind of fly. Once you get the gun, the Beretta, you can kind of fly through the first area pretty freely, except the graveyard. And I feel that could be misleading. Like, you're not realizing you need to be a higher level before. You got to an area that you weren't supposed to be at a certain level, and you had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that really taints my opinion of this game, especially because even after that, I still felt gated. Like, I knew what I needed to do. I knew what I was even looking at items, and I'm like, okay, I know what that's going to do. I know what that's going to do. I know where to go. It's just constantly like, I walk into a room, just you get lit up, and there's then
roadblocks.
Yeah. And there's very minimal save places.
All the beds.
They don't tell you, like, downtown. Do you know where your save spot is in downtown?
No.
There's a hotel that's not marked that you have to go into. It's 50 new yen a night.
Oh, so now it costs you money to save.
Exactly.
Oh, that's par for the course of RPGs.
If it just had a damn sign on it that said hotel.
I feel you there. Yeah, there are a lot of the areas aren't indicated, and I think graphically that would not have been hard to add to the game.
I tried real hard to just like let it wash over me, but I couldn't. And so I'm going to give this one a meh. Because I was engaged with the story. I wanted to know where it was going.
Yeah.
And I see what they were trying to do.
I respect that. I think you have a valid point there.
But the amount of roadblocks that are just constantly thrown at you, and it's not fun. It's not like,
yeah,
like redoing something doesn't feel rewarding. It's because the combat is, you enjoyed it, but
I don't know why I did.
The combat is, I get real tired. I felt
like
I was
pulling out a gun. Is why? Because you had to hit a button and then you get a cursor. And maybe my brain just thought, like, I love games where you pull out guns and you put them away. You know, yeah,
I just sat there and go,
yeah, just clicking. It's fair, man. I think your review's fair, and I respect it.
So yeah, I wanted to like it, and I tried, but it gets a me.
So Shadowrun on the Super Nintendo gets pretty much just, I guess, middle ground if you combine ours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gets a C, I guess. So this is the first week of May, and we are now moving forward every month going to do two Patreon picks at the beginning of the month and at the end. And by that, I mean the first and last week. So first week of May, we're doing another Patreon poll. If you want to know what that is, you can go to our Patreon. A link is in the description, show notes, bio, whatever. And for $5 a month, you get access to our bonus episodes, which are Retro Deep Cuts and Backlog Eternal. They're all video game themed. A lot of fun. We're now up to like 14 episodes so far. So that's awesome. And we're trying to release them every week. This week we'll be doing two to catch up. And also with that tier, that $5 tier, you get to put a game of your choice, 20 years or older, on any system into a separate pool that we are going to pull from, like I said, twice a month. And right now we're going to do it. So here we go. I'm going to
spin that wheel.
Playing a game on the Super Nintendo again.
Okay.
From 1994.
Ooh.
It is a tournament fishing
game. All right. We finally got it.
This week, we're playing
Bass and Black Bass.
Woo! We didn't even do a Bass and Black Bass joke.
Nope. This is the joke.
It did it to us. Wow. Okay. Well, it's finally happened. By the way, New Game Plus, the other podcast, really love their show. They just reviewed this game last week, and you should check that out. It's really interesting. It's super in-depth review, actually. Probably better than we're going to do. But, all right, everybody, it's happened. It's Bassin's Black Bass Week. You can thank Kenshiro for giving that game three of his votes, making it the easiest game to pick on the wheel of retro.
Thank you, Mr. Shiro.
It had the highest odds, so now that's out of the pool. Join us next week as we strap on our waiters. What are they called? Waiters? What are they?
Waiters?
Waiters? Waiters.
Our big old rubber booties.
Terrible. I keep accidentally hitting the wheel. Stop. Get your rod. Get your gear. It's ready. It's Bassin's Black Bass Week. Oh, I'm going to play the actual game. I know. Yeah.
So that cartridge I pick up every day. And I was like, yes, here it is.
There it is. It's happened, everybody. I can't believe it. We will see you next week. Join us in the bonus episodes for more content this week. And as usual, remember, never copy Zelda.
Yeah, don't copy Zelda. No.
And remember, don't go to the street doc. He will rip you off and he'll blow your mind.
He gives you a refund.
Yeah, if you survive. All right, cut to B. Bye.
Thank you for watching with my dad. I just want to say, everybody, guys, bye!